Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome along to Barcelona, easily Europe's best attacking side so far this season. A 5-star rating away to Villarreal took them 4 points clear again. Hansi Flick has imported some of that Bundesliga flair to La Liga. See, the Germans are renowned for their joyful approach to life. Best of luck to Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, who faces a long layoff after being injured in a game in which he was actually playing really well. Barca's online Ter Stegen detractors get their wish, and the club's hierarchy is currently scrolling through transfermarkt.com's list of free agents. Outrageously, the Brathwaite loophole has been closed, but they can sign Sergio Ramos if they agree to play him in goal. Quiz question. Which player has scored the most penalties this season across the top European leagues? Someone you know the answer. Although in a shock move, if you count the Champions League, then it's Bayern Munich centre-forward. Who could have known that? Mbappe's penalty this week came as a result of Endrick giving a 7-metre toe to Espanyol defender Carlos Romero, who still didn't think to let go of the baby-faced muscle man. Endrick had made quite an impact, given that he's not allowed on the pitch until 85 minutes have been played. La Liga Weekly would like to correct a previous statement made on this podcast that nothing happens in Getafe games. That remark was made after their goalless draw with Real Sociedad. It turns out that nothing happens in Real Sociedad games. I mean, they do turn up and run around a bit, but at the end of the 90 minutes, you're left debating a new way of being caught offside. Getafe's derby showdown with Leganés was notable for a dodgy late penalty. It's not just a big club thing, it's a football refereeing actually gets worse the more they fiddle with the rules thing. The stats tell us that Valencia have the lowest XG in La Liga. Luckily for them, Girona's Juanpe deflected almost pointless shots into his own net twice to give Loche their first win of the season. So Las Palmas at bottom, a familiar feeling for former Sheffield United man Ollie McBurney.
Oh, God. He was on the bench.
Right.
He was on the bench for this month.
Yes.
And he did appear, but he was on the bench. And Fabio Silva is there now. That suddenly popped up. I noticed.
Yeah,
who's on loan from Wolves?
Right, yeah.
So, I don't want to go too much into Les Palmas and open the podcast with a 10-minute debate on who should play up front for Les Palmas. And but yeah, no. So that's it's been a good weekend.
Weekend. And the top two are entertaining, a good watch at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that's good to see, isn't it? I want to talk about the foul on it, Endrick. I know it was the 90th minute or something, wasn't it? So the game was done. Real Madrid had come from, again, ragged, but then got good. a bit of a pattern going on. And then Endrick comes on. As I say, he only comes on like 88 minutes or something. And he starts fouling. It's extra. If you haven't seen it, he grabs hold of him by the corner flag.
One of those training exercises where a player runs with a player holding onto
him. Like he's got the bungee rope around him.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that.
But he can't stop him.
And amazingly, I was asked last night, Terry, a series of fouls that were penalties. Yeah. Terry, do you think this is a penalty? Yes, it's a penalty. Obviously.
Did it start inside the penalty area? No, it started miles away from the penalty area.
I think the argument was the Espanyol's players' feet were outside the penalty box when Endrick finally went down.
Yeah.
But his arms and everything else were in the box. My argument then was, if Peter Crouch was still playing, he could bring someone down in the penalty box and then claim his upper half of his body is outside the box and it's not a penalty. So of course it was a penalty.
Yeah. It was just extra. Why did he let go? Why did he not let go?
Exactly.
And how is Endrick so strong when he's a child?
But let's start with Real Madrid. Yeah, I think it's a slight worry, actually. Not worry. It's a concern, I would imagine, for Ancelotti that his team are conceding so many opportunities, because Espanyol did have chances in this game. And Vinicius had to come off the bench after Espanyol took the lead. And immediately there was a reaction. Carvajal gets the equaliser in the 4 minutes after they went 1-0 down. So Espanyol could have done with another 5 minutes of holding on, keeping it tight. And then, you know, the big panic would have stepped in. But of course, Vinicius came on a minute after Espanyol went 1-0 up. It was a weird goal, wasn't it? A cross from Jofre Carreras.
Yeah, it's an own goal, isn't it? Yeah.
Own goal from Courtois. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Deflected in the near post. But Espanyol always were a threat in this game until the late stages. But it is relentless when you're playing Real Madrid and you go 1-0 up. There's over half an hour to go and they've got players on the bench, and Vinicius in particular. It is tough to hold on to. But I think Ancelotti, the focus this year has been on the front players, hasn't it? Because Mbappe has joined and we're all debating where should he play, who's playing here, who's going to play up front with him. And we've kind of neglected the midfield and the defence, and why are they conceding so many chances? They did it in midweek in the Champions League. That was a surprising game because Stuttgart had as many attempts on goal and shots as Real Madrid did. And just recently this season, we've been looking at the front end of the pitch, but there's something not quite clicking in terms of they need to be the complete team to do what they did again last season, and they're capable of doing that.
I mean, to put it in simple terms, they've lost Toni Kroos, haven't they? So they've taken out a defensive,
a positional midfield player.
A deep midfield player.
Yeah. A positional midfield player who had the discipline. Yeah. And wasn't interested in charging forward.
Yeah.
He didn't have the legs of Valverde and other players and Camavinga and Tchouaméni and Bellingham. He wasn't interested in that. He was interested in controlling midfield.
They've gone a bit basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously in basketball, there's a chance every 10, 20 seconds.
Exactly. And that's how it is. So I think it's something Ancelotti, he can do it with the comfort knowing that even if they play like this, they can outscore opponents. If they want to take a team on head-to-head, end-to-end football, they probably will have enough firepower to defeat teams. But to be the complete team, they might come unstuck against, you know, one of the bigger teams in the Champions League or one of the bigger teams in La Liga.
So he's the wiliest guy around, isn't he, Ancelotti? Yeah. He finds a way. So what is the way? Do you keep on doing this? I don't know. Or do you change the personnel around? I mean, they've been injury hit as well, haven't they? So,
it's
all of our considerations at this stage of the season, they all come with a bit of a caveat, don't they, that it's early days yet. But where will they go with it? Will they have to change the balance a bit more, stick more bodies in midfield?
Yeah, I think when you look at the midfield players, I think Tchouaméni is the obvious one to do that role. I think even when Camavinga's fit, he's still a player that likes to break forward and break into wide positions, energetic, box-to-box type of midfield player. So is Valverde, so is Bellingham. The other players that could play in a midfield role, either Gula maybe, they want to attack more than defence. I think Tchouaméni is key. And if Tchouaméni isn't available, because he might at times have to play at centre-back, then discipline has to be shown by Camavinga, for instance.
Or Bellingham.
Or Bellingham. Any of those players could do that role.
Yeah, because that's it. They're perfectly capable. And
exactly.
It might be a case that they might just have to do it. Much as it's great to go charging forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think when they play in the big games, it's going to be an issue. It's something that can be resolved. Yeah. And I'm sure Ancelotti is looking at it and thinking, why are we conceding this many chances in the last two games in particular? And one of those against Espanyol, newly promoted at home. And Real Madrid are conceding, you know, half a dozen chances that Espanyol could have made the most of.
Yeah.
So it's just something to tinker with, really. And maybe the focus on the coaching side has been how to get the front players, how that we're going to make that work. And maybe, you know, they've neglected the defensive side of the game. I mean, both fullbacks push on all the time. Carvajal
scored on the goal line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Frank Garcia played at the weekend. Yeah. He was superb. The more I see of him, the more I think he is a genuine contender with Ferland Mondi to be the first choice left back. But they like to push on. So it's admirable. I don't want Real Madrid to change.
Yeah.
But they have to be realistic when they face tougher opponents that, do you know what? Our front players are probably good enough to take care of the attack themselves. Do we need Bellingham? Maybe is the one exception to break from midfield. But then we don't need, you know, the others to keep doing the same as well. Valverde, for instance, doesn't need to break into the box as much as Bellingham. If Bellingham's going to do that role, and then maybe have Valverde and Tchouaméni as the sort of anchor man in midfield against the better teams. Yeah. In this game, Espanyol scored too early, and then Vinicius comes off the bench, and he was fantastic when he came on. And he was the player that changed the dynamic for Real Madrid.
Yeah,
I did debate last night on the first goal, though. I'm sure it's a recent change in the laws of the game in offside, where the shot is taken, Bellingham is offside, and then a couple of years ago, I'm sure the flag would have gone up when he participated in the play. When he runs to the player in possession of the ball, I'm pretty sure then the flag would have gone up and players were advised, if you're in that position, don't go and join in until the next phase of play. So he was close to the Espanyol player. I can't remember who the defender was, who made the mistake. And he makes the mistake because it's Bellingham and Vinicius from behind. Mm-hmm. But it's Bellingham who's closing him down. So that if Bellingham doesn't take part in the game, the Espanyol player doesn't make the mistake.
Yeah,
Bellingham is offside.
Yeah.
Originally. I'm sure that was the law a couple of years ago, but now it was deemed, no, as soon as he's had the play, as soon as the ball goes to an Espanyol player, that's the next phase.
Yeah, I take your point. So the question here is, this is a different case. Because I remember Graham Hunter mentioned this, didn't he, on La Liga TV? He compared it to the Nations League final.
Yeah.
Where I think it was Eric Garcia.
Yes,
And Mbappe is running behind him, and he stretches, because the through ball is going to Mbappe, he stretches to try and intercept it, and it comes off his foot. Deflects, goes through, and Mbappe, who was offside, his flag is then ruled onside by the English officials because they're overcomplicating it, funnily enough. And they deemed that was a new phase of play because Eric Garcia had stretched. But so now that they've clarified now that it's got to be a deliberate play. And in this case, the Espanyol, did deliberately pass it.
Yeah.
He did pass it.
He miscontrolled it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He dribbles it back, he miscontrols it, and he's dribbling it back towards his own byline after the goalkeeper saves it.
He's not intercepting. He's not stretching. He's taken control of that situation. So I guess if there is a grey area there, they've given it in Bellingham's favour, haven't they? But I take your point, because when a striker runs offside, they make a point of standing.
Yeah,
I know I'm offside until someone goes past them or the ball goes past them, and then they join in again.
Exactly the point.
And he didn't do that, did he?
No,
he just chased
the ball.
Yeah.
And the Espanyol player has a heavy touch. If Bellingham isn't there, he might still get to the ball first and clear it for a throw-in.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, it goes off for a corner.
Yeah, because what's to stop a centre-forward going 10 yards offside and disrupting any kind of attempt to pass the ball back to the goalkeeper or to pass it out from an offside position?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's effectively what Bellingham did there, isn't it? But I get it. I missed it first time round. So it's not a scandal, is it? But when you think about it.
No, and it's nothing to do with Real Madrid. And it's just clearing up the laws of the game that week after week, something happens.
Yeah.
And you go, that's a grey area. There shouldn't be as many grey areas as there are.
Because the trouble with this, this is what they always do. If they listen to you, they will try to write some kind of watertight legal definition of what happens in this situation, and it'll be worse because you like the handball. We're years now of trying to define what a handball is, and we can't
exactly.
So Barcelona.
I do like the automated offside, though. They're happening in the blink of an eye, aren't they?
Yeah,
thinking. Oh, I mean, some are so close.
Yeah, but a blessed relief, isn't it? Real Sociedad. He was like stupid. Nothing else to say about that game. So it was all done on a square pass, wasn't it? Was it Zubimendi threw on goal? Yeah. Threw on goal.
He's 6 yards out.
Yeah.
Rebounded, fell to him kindly. He's onside.
Yeah.
All he's got to do is pass it into the goalkeeper's in the middle of the goal, so pick a side and he scores. But he chose to square it to the surprise, I think, of Oyarzabal, who's
offside
in the same position, but he's offside
by a toe. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's probably he's ahead of the ball.
Yeah.
He's probably thinking Zubimendi's going to just lash it in the goal.
Yeah.
And Zubimendi didn't. That's a real, to put it bluntly, a cock up between the two of them.
But it made your prediction come right, because on Friday the patrons will know that Terry said that was bound to be 0-0 that game.
That's 3 goals in 7 games for La Real. They changed formation this week. They played 4-4-2. They did get more players into the box to the extent that they were getting in each other's way. They just run out. It looks like they've run out of ideas on how to score a goal, which doesn't give you any chance of winning a game of football or build.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
For a good season, which they got a million miles away from doing at the moment, no?
Yeah. Barcelona, however, do know how to score a goal. Yeah. They got 5 of them, chucking a missed penalty. They're well clear in goals scored.
Yeah. And they've hit the post framing a goal more times than anyone else as well.
Yeah.
8.
Yeah, which is extraordinary. 6 games. Yeah. I mean, and their finishing has generally been really good, hasn't it? I mean, they made a mess of the European game, didn't they? They all pivoted on Ter Stegen's terrible pass to Eric Garcia, who then gets sent off.
10 minutes in.
Yeah, 10 minutes in. So then you can't assess the rest of the game. Well, you can, but within that context, isn't it? So against Villarreal, we'll come to Ter Stegen later, but Villarreal, they got hammered, but they weren't bad at all, were they? They had moments in this game where you think this is genuinely close and, you know, genuinely ding-dong game, but Barca were just efficient in the end.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal for Barca, and to put in context, we were talking in the studio on air and saying, this is probably a good time to face Barcelona. I mean, they've got 7 players out injured and Ferran Torres suspended. They played 80 minutes plus against Monaco with 10 men. And when you looked at the starting lineup, 2 or 3 changes that weren't predicted, where Hansi Flick had to dig deep again and go with the different younger players. So it was quite feasible that you could make Villarreal favourites to win this game before the start of the match, because they're playing well, made some good new signings, they're confident, they're scoring goals. And the first 10, 15 minutes of the game, that looked to be the case. Barcelona a little bit disjointed, and Villarreal were playing fast and furious, and also Lewandowski scores. I have to say, though, I made the point in commentary that he looked in the mood. I could tell. I can tell with Lewandowski. 5 minutes in, he looked in the mood, and I don't know whether the Logan Costa or Eric Bailly had upset him, but he was physical against both of them, which isn't easy when you're the lone striker and you're playing against two aggressive, fast, strong, younger centre-halves. But he roughed them both up. And his first goal, he gets involved in the build-up. And I watched him closely in the build-up to the goal. So he gets involved out wide, lays the ball off. His movement from then on was dynamic, and he was breaking back into the penalty box, which he I think is a cause of criticism for a lot of strikers that they're involved in the build up, but then they're not dynamic enough because it's an ideal opportunity. Benzema was brilliant at it, popped the ball off wide, and then he sprints and he gets into the box. And the partnership he had with Vinicius in particular towards the end of his time at Real Madrid was brilliant. And it was similar to Lewandowski. So when he pops it off and he gets on his toes and he gets involved in the penalty box, lovely pass into him and he slides it in for the opening goal. That was slightly against the run of play. And then before you know it, they've gone 2-0 up. Lewandowski again, and obviously Perez gets back in, gets the one back, and you're thinking, game on again. Barcelona didn't have total control. But so much credit has to go into Barcelona. I mean, you're looking, even in this game, with all those injuries they've got, then Ter Stegen picks up, which I'm not optimistic, but I have to be, I'm hoping it's not going to be a season-ending knee injury. I'm not a physio or a doctor or a surgeon, but I couldn't see a twist when he landed.
It's his kneecap, isn't it?
In fact, I'm seeing him yelp in pain as he goes up as well.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for the twist on landing. He jolted it and hyperextended it a bit.
Yeah.
But I was panicking when the players panicked. Mm. I did expect a head injury or, you know, a player that was unconscious or, but, you know, it was a knee injury, but that's a problem. So they had to deal with that as well.
Yeah.
And they still managed to win 5-1. I mean, a 3-1 up, Pepe gets Nicolas Pepe, who deserves credit in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, they picked him up on a free from Trabzonspor. He's 29 years of age. He's obviously been a good player. There must be a lot of players around like this that lose their way, that don't get regular first team football. Yeah. And he was brilliant last night. Absolutely brilliant. A surprise inclusion because Tierno Barry has been the new signing that has caught the eye and played in the win against Mallorca. There was two or three changes I didn't expect from Marcelino, but he went for speed against Barcelona. And Nicolas Pepe was brilliant. And when he has the goal disallowed at 3-2, which is really close, an offside call, that 3-2 would have been a fair reflection on the game and then we would have been set up for another, in the last 20 minutes, that would have been competitive. But it was disallowed. And then Pablo Torre scores, Rafinha gets a couple and Barcelona just wrap it up in style. So what they've done, 6 wins out of 6, with all the trials and tribulations that are going on at the club. I mean, it's a really severe injury list, isn't it? I mean, you're talking 7 first-team players. Yeah. I mean, Mark Bernal just broke into the team this year, 3 games. But the rest of them, and you chuck into that team last night, Araujo, Christensen, Gavi, Frankie de Jong, trying to think who else is missing. I will have it written down. But it's a significant list of players that are missing that you think they could do with them. They could do with them. He could do, you know, he would be possible first. It's Araujo, de Jong, Gavi, Christensen, Bernal, Fermin Lopez and Dani Olmo. And they're all first team players.
Yeah.
And then Ferran Torres suspended and then Ter Stegen gets injured. And you look at the team that's lining up and I had to do loads of homework before the game because you're looking at them and you think, I don't know this youngster. He came on against Monaco, I've seen him for 10 minutes or whatever. But like Sergi Dominguez, they had 2 6, he was 19, the centre back, he played well instead of Kubasi. 2 16-year-olds on the bench, they didn't come on. But it's extraordinary how the Hansi Flick has managed to do that so quickly. There is a change of style in play as well, which suits Lewandowski. And it's Lewandowski, a goal a game is what we expect from Lewandowski.
So what are you doing about Ter Stegen? If he's out for, I don't know if it's a cut-off.
8 months, they're saying. But yeah. I don't know where that's come from because they can't have assessed it last night. That was the news. 8 months. No one knows
but
that.
But if he's done knee ligaments, which he seems to have done, then...
It's possible. So the
whole younger or new arrivals to La Liga might not know the whole Brathwaite controversy of a few seasons ago where they... I can't remember who the Barca player who got injured was, actually. But so a Barca player got injured after the window had shut. And there was a loophole. It's crazy when you think about it, wasn't it? That meant that if you had an injured player, you could sign from another team to replace your injured player. But then
he's a defender, and they signed a centre forward.
So and they paid the release clause. So yeah. It was Levante, wasn't it? So they had no choice.
Leganés,
sorry. Yeah, Leganés.
Yeah, because Leganés that year lost Nesiri in the next transfer window.
Yeah.
As well, and so got relegated because they lost their two strikers and nothing they could do about it.
Yeah, so they had a player taken away, release clause paid, and then that was it. It's like, well, hang on, so they've got an injured thing, so but what happens to us? And the answer to you is bad luck to you. Yeah. So they've stopped that. So all you can do now is sign a free agent. Now, we talked before about there are some good free agents around, but I did, but I'm saying the bias hierarchy, I look on Transfermarkt at the list.
You could see them in the director's box last night. Yeah. Jean Laporta, Deco, I think Bojan, who works alongside Deco now and as part of the recruitment staff. They were just, you could see they were despair. It's a, you know, it's another injury, but it's an important player.
Yeah.
And Peña is the replacement. I don't think there's anything they can do unless you've got any ideas on a freebie.
So Keylor Navas, ironically, is available. Karius, the former Liverpool goalkeeper, and Real Madrid fans have got very happy memories about from the Champions League final. Thomas Vashlik was on the list. Yuri Pavlenka, who's just left a German club, Werder Bremen, I think. And he's a Czech international. So there are some decent ones around.
Yeah.
But obviously...
Iñaki Peña. That's the...
Yeah, but having said that, you need someone to come and sit on the bench, if nothing else, do you? Unless it turns out they've got a brilliant 16-year-old goalkeeper that we don't know.
The third goalkeeper is Ander Astralaga, who's 20.
Right. Yeah.
So he would be the bench goalkeeper to Iñaki Peña. So Alvaro Valle is an interesting one. He's out of contract next year, but that's by the by. I mean, I don't know whether they... I don't know, he's out of contract at Las Palmas. He's not playing.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's an agreement Las Palmas can cancel his contract that makes him a free agent.
Yeah. Why would they do that? You know.
Save 6 months, eight months, I see what you wages.
Mean. Yeah.
Before he's trying to go to Betis.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem. That's why he's not playing. He's trying to engineer a move to Betis. Betis wouldn't agree a fee. He won't stay at Las Palmas, so they brought in another goalkeeper to play instead, and he's not playing. He's not even in the squads. I think he's training with the squad, but he's not involved. So
maybe. So that's a possibility, isn't it?
Has that loophole been shut where someone can manipulate a free transfer when they're in contract? I don't know when they're in contract.
I would imagine not. Imagine if you pay his contract up. I mean, you never know.
To leave.
Because La Liga, they do like a sort of post hoc punishment, don't they? After the event, come along and say, no, that was wrong. when it wasn't strictly made out in the rules.
So I guess Alvaro Valles would have to give up his salary that he earns at Las Palmas. They cancel the contract, he becomes a free agent, and then he can sign for Barcelona.
Yeah.
But that's a long shot.
Yes. That's creative, though, Terry. I can tell you've worked in this bit of the business before, so we'll see.
It's just interesting. Every now and then I think about him because I think he was much coveted. Betis were desperate for him. For some reason, that Las Palmas couldn't do a deal with Betis. He's only got a year left on his contract. They've signed a new goalkeeper because they thought he was leaving, and now they've decided to banish him. Yeah. So he's not playing football at all.
Yeah.
So there is a situation there that could be resolved.
And he was really, first half of last season, he was brilliant, wasn't he? Yeah, he'd be a good signing for Barca, wouldn't he?
Good goalkeeper, good ball at his feet. He would be a good signing. I'm not saying he's better than Ter Stegen. It's a huge loss for Barcelona. And I'm hopeful that, I haven't seen the news, I've been looking this morning. I'm sure later today we'll find out the extent of the injury to Ter Stegen. But I'm always hopeful that it looks worse than it was. And he just jarred the knee, shook it up. Surgery not needed, hopefully, but
fingers crossed. We don't know, do we? I'm going to share something tactical with you, Terry. Right, La Liga tiki taka. Can you see the share screen now? So what I've done here,
I can now.
Squad passing. I've sorted it by long pass. These are the top five European leagues. Sorted it by the amount of long passes attempted per squad in the first. Well, we're on five games of the season. And all of La Liga is at the top. Basically.
I'm just looking at.
They've played a game more than most others, so that is sort of skewing it. But I still think that there is a thing. We'll have to keep an eye on this. But halfway through, Is it just skewed because of that extra game? Or basically, like all, so it's got Leganés have tried the most long passes. Mallorca, Real Sociedad, Athletic, Rayo Vallecano, Alavés. That is literally the first 11 are all La Liga teams. The only
Until
one
you
missing,
get to Montpellier.
Yeah, yeah. And then Bologna. And then another run of La Liga teams.
Yeah.
And then Cagliari, Everton, Brest, and Celta Vigo, Lazio, Barcelona, Sevilla, and then Brentford. And then funnily enough, Bournemouth, who were managed by Andoni Iraola.
Yeah.
Like I say, caveat on that is that they've played a game more. So it's skewing those stats a bit. But it does, this notion that, I think people still have this notion that La Liga is all tiki-taka, whereas yeah. very much teams are, at least you say, they're mixing it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. I think maybe a lot of it to do is with the transfer budgets that teams have. I mean, we know, makes the headlines, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, the expenders this year.
Yeah.
Maybe Villarreal surprised us by spending so much money towards the end of the season. But then you look down the lower part of the division and you're looking at the budgets.
Yeah.
I mean, and you mentioned Andoni Iraola there. 120 million, I think, Bournemouth spent.
Yeah, this summer. Yeah, yeah. That's it. It's a low-spending Premier League club. Yeah, yeah.
His old team, Raya.
Yeah.
I'm guessing 5 million, if that.
Yeah.
And we don't...
Yeah.
No one bats an eyelid about, Hatafa haven't spent anything, Sevilla haven't spent anything, Valencia, Osasuna, Alaves, Girona made a profit, Rayo,
yeah.
you know, Las Palmas, their big money signings were McBurney and McKenna. Espanyol don't spend any money. So they're working within their resources and the coaches are playing a style of football that is more fundamental and more basic to make sure that they are competitive and to stay in the division.
Yeah. I mean, you did your homework for the weekend.
Whereas if you were giving Luis Garcia Plaza at Alaves...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah.
100 million to spend. They might be buying different players and playing a different style of football.
Yeah.
But Luis Garcia Plaza, Alaves are punching well above their weight again this season. So it's a whole new team because last year they were all on loan and they survived comfortably, newly promoted. And he's doing it again this year with another group of players. So is it they're more pragmatic, the coaches, more realistic to suggest that, you know, this is, we're living within our means. The aim is survival. And this is the style of football that we're going to choose to play. Because even when the tiki-taka was at its most fashionable, there was always some teams that played more direct football in La Liga. And I've always liked the fact that there always is a good spread of different tactics.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at even West Ham. You know, Lopetegui's gone in. They think they're getting the classic Spanish coach, tiki-taka. And I never saw him as that when he was coach of Sevilla. I saw him as a fundamentalist coach who had good fundamentals, good players, an experienced group of players, and got the best out of that group. And I think that people do have this sort of misconception that every Spanish coach is the same, whereas, and we perhaps in Spain have portrayed Bordalas as to be the only one who's like that, and he's not.
No, he's not. It's just the most like that, isn't
he? He's the first.
Yeah,
he's the first.
Yeah, yeah.
The first pragmatic, realistic coach that teams don't enjoy playing against. Mm. And that's great if you're. Why should you be a coach of a team that Real Madrid and Barcelona?
Oh, English football is now
Manchester City
full of teams
to play against.
who other teams enjoy playing against all the way down. Honestly, I was looking at a League One team. I was going through their goals, and the amount of goals that are coming from unforced errors. League One, you know, and sort of knocking it around in their own penalty area and stuff. And you watch, I mean, Hull. I watched Hull the other night. They won. But honestly, 17 seconds into the game, they give the opposition a chance from their own play on their edge of the box. It's sort of admirable, but sort of crazy at the same time. Yeah. Where should we go next? Should we do... you mentioned Alaves, Sevilla. So Alaves won by 2-1. I mean, this... You're not surprised, Terry, I'm going to take it by Sevilla, because you've been saying from pre-season you've been concerned about them. And... They're in trouble, aren't they?
Massively in trouble. I mean, they're at home to Valladolid tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's make or break for Garcia Pimienta. And it's not his fault, but he is, because he'll get the blame rather than the hierarchy at the club who are responsible for the state of the first team squad. So if they were to lose that, he may well be gone. They cannot afford to not win. A draw keeps him his job, but the pressure builds up. If they were to lose at home to Valladolid, they're struggling to beat anyone, then it's good night Vienna. And it's not his fault. They just haven't got very good players. And Alaves swarmed all over them. And Nieland in goal made a mistake for the first goal. Carlos Vicente scores. Good player he is. Carlos Martin, he got a goal as well. And then Luca Bacchio gets a decent goal. But they just, Isaac Romero came off injured. That looked a nasty one. Iheanacho goes on as a sub. They just don't have the quality that Sevilla should have. And it baffles me, to be honest. Mm. 20-year period of making absolute fortunes on transfers. And somehow they've ended up with a squad of players that from day one I presumed was going to be, in a relegation battle. And I haven't changed my mind.
Yeah. Atletico, we need to talk about them. They're in fact Atletico third, aren't they? But they've played a game more again, should mention. So Rio 1, Atleti 1. Conor Gallagher, very efficient, isn't he? A couple of goals, good start.
Exactly. I mean, I'm watching the game and it was classic Atletico Madrid that they played, wasted a half of football again.
Right.
I've moaned about that so often. Nothing happened in the first half. Yeah. The stats in the first half, 68% possession to Rio, 32% possession to Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
And at halftime, Simeone, I was asked, what do you do to change, bring Griezmann on? Clearly, that's an obvious solution. He did come on. He didn't actually get involved in the game that much. Mm. But what Simeone did do, he changed his formation at the back. They went to a back four. Played two in midfield, of which Conor Gallagher was kept on and was one of those alongside Koke. Rodrigo, the ball went off. And they played all four attackers at the same time.
Yeah.
Which probably didn't best please Julian Alvarez, who was left wing. Correa was down the right flank. Sorloth and Griezmann up front. And it worked for about 20 minutes and they got the goal. They got a quick equaliser in the second half. Conor Gallagher did one thing that he and the midfield hadn't done in the first half. When Atletico broke in the first half, it was almost like it was a ban on eight players not to go in the attacking half. Mm-hmm. It was just down to three players to do the counter-attack, everyone else keeping position. It was a lethargic performance. It looked like one where they hadn't got out their legs the game against RB Leipzig in midweek. And they wasted that first half. And they were 1-0 down. You see Palazon scores and Rayo thoroughly deserved to be ahead.
Yeah.
And I'm liking the look of Rio again. I didn't like him last year. They were pretty dull and pretty boring. But this year they look like Iraola's version of Rio. That's not surprising. Inigo Perez was the assistant manager at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just frustrated that James Rodriguez is not starting. I'm not getting that. I have to be honest.
Is he not fit?
He's fit. He's fit. He's man of the match last month when Colombia beat Argentina.
But that's what I mean. Is he?
Yeah.
Has he come back I don't know. It seems odd, doesn't it? Has he come back from
totally.
That? Not fit.
And this game was the perfect chance because they beat Osasuna 3-1. It was another home game against Atletico. They are underdogs. And also Oscar Trejo played against... Oscar Trejo is 35-36 in the number 10 position against Osasuna. He was rested for this game.
Yeah.
But it was Issy Palazon who came back. Issy Palazon was on the bench against Osasuna. Issy Palazon came in and played the number 10 role.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is... Yeah. James now third choice number 10 at Rio.
Yeah, yeah.
My advice would be that's not going to end well because they've sold out of club shirts.
Right, yeah. James, yeah.
Colombian flags all over the stadium. The two games they've had have been full to capacity.
Yeah.
And Nico Perez, you've got to play him. I want you asking for trouble. Good point against Atletico, good win against Osasuna. So that, I'm joking when I say he's going to get the sack. But you do bring it if you don't get him in the team quickly. He's 33, he's not 43. He's 33. He was player of the year in the Copa America, and they've brought him to the club for a reason. Sooner or later, James is going to think, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Sitting on the bench at Rayo Vallecano.
Yeah.
If I can't get a game, he's got to play him, start him the next match.
Yeah.
I mean, he came on for 20 minutes, he came on for 5 minutes the other night, but he's more than that.
Athletic Club sorting themselves out, aren't they? Up to third, as I say. Celta Vigo games have been pretty entertaining so far this season. They lost this one by 3-1. Gudazeta got a couple. Jallo got his first goal, didn't he? He signed their big
good
signing
header.
In the summer, yeah?
Yeah, good head, really good header. And it's pleasing for Gudazeta to get amongst the goals because he took a bit of criticism. His position isn't secure in the team. In my opinion, it should be because he brings out the best in the other attacking players. He's the only centre forward they've got. Mm. So if he's not playing and they tried to play Santa up front or Iñaki Williams up front, it's not the same. Mm. So I think Berengueri puts in a really good cross for one of Gruzetta's goals. He improvised for the first goal, really sharp piece of play, then a good header. And, you know, it was a dubious penalty, I think, when Aspas gets fouled by Aguirre Zabala, who actually went off because he got a collision in that and knocked to the head.
Aspas
goes around him. It's a real ponderous piece of play from Aspas. No disguise on trying to dribble around the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper easily is going to make the save. And as he dives down to Aspas's feet, Aspas finds something to the collision. It looks as if he was trying everything. He'd lost the opportunity to go and found a way to try and, in my opinion, deceive the referee and get the foul.
Yeah.
The penalty was given and they were back on level terms, but Athletic were better. Celta were rubbish. And I hope Celta continue to play like this away from home. They've got 9 points. That's from three home games. They've won all three, lost all three away. But they've had some difficult away games.
Yeah.
So they I hope they don't change the way they play away from home just because they've lost at, you know, difficult places to go and play. Top of my head, I'm trying to think who they've played away from home. Villarreal was one of them. They lost 4-3. And now they've only played three, Villarreal away, Osasuna away, and now Athletic Club away. All been competitive games. They've won all three at home, so I hope they don't panic and go, right, we're going to have to change the way we play away from home because we haven't picked up a point. But good win for Athletic Club.
Yeah. Valencia 2-0 against Girona. As previously indicated, Juanpe deflected them both into his own goal, didn't he? So one of them is an own goal, one of them goes down. I think it's Daniel Gomez's goal.
But... Yeah, Danny Gomez claims the goal, but Luis Rioja is not given the goal. I'm not entirely sure. They both looked similar attempts from distance that I think they were both on target.
Yeah.
I don't know why the choice. One piece, I mean, it does happen. Defenders, I mean, in the Barcelona game, was a deflection or two in that game that resulted in the goal. But there is an art to closing down, and on both occasions, one piece turning his back and dangling a leg out, not appearing to look at the ball. So they're hardly unlucky.
Yeah, Johan Cruyff said it was a mistake. He always said if the ball went between a defender's legs, it's a mistake. So he was basically, don't let that happen, and especially if it goes through and you deflect it as you go. Yeah,
and Girona made 8 changes. They were unlucky. They hit the post a couple of times. But to make 8 changes in a squad like Girona, which has been cut from last season.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the players they've signed are better than the ones that left. So that makes them weaker. And as you said at the intro, they actually look like a team at the end of a long, hard season already.
Yeah, yes.
And they've only played one of the Champions League games. It's going to be interesting to see how much impact that has on Michel and Girona.
Yeah.
Because they don't look very good at the moment. This comes on the back of a 4-1 defeat to Barcelona the week before. They haven't got 8 players that can rotate. And as I say, they were slightly unlucky at the weekend. Valencia probably shade of luck with the 2 goals. But it's going to be interesting to see top half finish for Girona. That would be a success, I think. We're talking about a team that are in the Champions League.
Yeah, but last year was the outlier, wasn't it? Last year was they were freakishly good.
Yeah.
This year, losing key players, all of those Champions League games to play. Mid-table would be fine, wouldn't it?
It would
realistically,
be fine.
Just, you know, you've got to be fair to them, haven't you? So, you know. Osasuna beat Las Palmas, which we briefly mentioned. Any more to add on this one? I can't remember the penalty. What was the penalty for? I can't.
It was a pull on the shirt of Budimir.
Right, yeah.
It's a pull.
Yes, I remember it now.
Exaggerated fall from Budimir.
Yeah.
It is the shirt pull is for too long.
Clear, yeah. He grabs hold of
it. So that was the reason the penalty was given. And he didn't try the fancy penalty kick that we saw from him last season, which went down as one of the worst penalties of all time. Aspas's penalty were much better, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Agüero dives to his right and it just trickled down the middle. It was a complete miskick that never got off the floor. And that was lucky for Aspas. But Budimir is the leader of Osasuna, and 10 points, Osasuna, all at home. Yeah. They're fun to watch at home again this season. I have to say, I wasn't in love with the appointment of Vicente Moreno. But they're fun to watch at home. Mm-hmm. The team are playing all right at home. Consistent team selection. And I think they're fun to watch at home because of the atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah.
And they respond to that. And it's a difficult place for teams to go.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah, win. Las Palmas keep coming up short, just short.
Yeah.
Pleasing in the eye. They've got some decent players, but they just keep coming up short. And I do fear that they could be this season's Granada or Almeria, who last season struggled for victories. Yep. I'm just coming up short week in, week out. So,
it's a
quick turnaround. They're one of the two teams now without a win, them and Getafe.
Yeah. Yeah, so Getafe got a 1-1 last game. We're straight into another round of games immediately, so don't worry. So Getafe 1-1 against Leganés. I thought they got the penalty wrong on this. I thought they should have given another one to Getafe, but not this one.
The one on Geno.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, he was
Renato
fouled.
Tapia.
That was just a straightforward foul.
Nailed on foul.
Yeah.
I mean, Tapia gets a touch of the ball, but the ball is still, Geno still has control of the ball.
Yeah.
And then Tapia does the scissor challenge.
Yeah. And brings down his trailing leg.
And doesn't touch the ball.
Yeah.
It's a clear penalty.
Yeah.
And maybe the second one, I
wouldn't have given it.
I didn't think initially, and watched loads of replays, there is a kick on the shin.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the one that Vinicius got for Real Madrid the week before.
It's just there's some kind of statute of limitations. You can't prosecute that years after the event. So it just seemed that the play had gone, and then there's a collision after the play had gone.
A play had gone, and there was a chance, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It wasn't taken.
Yeah.
And then the referee then blew the whistle and awarded the penalty, and that VAR, I guess, decided that, like the Aspas one, they didn't have big enough reason to tell the referee, you've got it wrong.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that derby. Great goal from Jorge Sanz, where the centre back goes up for the set piece. Lovely skill from volley in the top corner. Mayoral, pleased to see back, and hasn't played since February. and he'll make Getafe better. Getafe will be all right. They've got 4 points. It's four draws. I think they've only scored three, conceded five in the five, 6 games they've played.
Yeah.
But they'll be all right, Getafe. They're the one team, along with Las Palmas, that haven't got a win, but I don't think it'd be far away. I'm trying to look at the fixtures. That, well, they've got Barcelona away Wednesday. But that'll be a tougher game for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Getafe are what they are. And I enjoyed the atmosphere. Surprised me slightly. I know both teams in Madrid. Didn't realise how close they are. And Leganés took a fantastic away following, which isn't always the norm, even when it's a derby in the same city. But Getafe and Leganés, great atmosphere, no trouble. And both teams enjoying the fact they've got the derby in the top flight of Spanish football and made the most of it. It was a good game.
Yeah, right. We better get this posted, Terry, because we're back round again immediately, aren't we? You're in Barcelona tonight, aren't you? There's another game tonight, and then immediately into another midweek round of fixtures. Determined to get ahead of everybody, aren't they? And there we are.
So it's a bit of a slog at the moment, I have to be honest. Hence the reason some teams are struggling with injuries and stuff. And
yeah,
it's and rotations. They panic when it comes to midweek games, and it's a tough period for La Liga teams.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, heart bleeds for them. Getting paid money, getting paid a fortune to play football. Sometimes I have to do it twice a week. Right, and we will see you.
You're going all routine on us, John.
Yes, do your job. Right. Enjoy this football, everybody. More games this midweek, and we'll see you for another podcast soon. So we'll see you then. Thanks for your support, everybody. Bye bye.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.